Blog Talk Radio.
A Monday warrior, mean stride. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean pride.
Good afternoon on the East Coast, good morning on the West Coast, and a great day to you wherever and whenever you may be listening. My name is Jason Dias, broadcasting live from the studio of eloquentonline.net in beautiful, yes, what I'm about to say may shock you, beautiful, snow-covered New Braunfels, Texas, Republic thereof. You're listening to The Power Performance, the show that asks the question, if your brand were a band, would you leave the audience wanting more? The name of the show today is Trainer and Entertainer. You can do both. You can do both. In the course of my long award-winning, stellar professional speaking and training career, I have had professional trainers come up to me and say, well, everyone looked like they were having fun, but were they learning anything? Well, I bet they were learning more than when they sat through your session and were sleeping. So, yes, I think you can do both. I think you can be a trainer and an entertainer and an author and a writer. When we get to our guest in a few minutes, Jody Holland, he does all of that. And I've actually wanted to have him on the show for a long, long time. He's out of Amarillo, Texas, although today he'll be joining us from somewhere in the great American Midwest out in St. Louis. But first, A little bit of news. Perhaps you've heard about this little credit union in New York City. Yes, a New York state of mind. A New York credit union, this is from Credit Union Times. A New York credit union has filed suit in federal court accusing the Trump administration of a hostile takeover of the CFPB following the resignation of agency director Richard Cordray. The Lower East Side People's Federal Credit Union, $55 million in assets, headed by President Linda Levy, filed suit in the U.S. District Court. I reached out to Linda Levy for a comment. She did not respond. I noticed a lot of comments on their Facebook page about, hey, wait a minute. Did the board approve this? Did the members know you're using their money to pursue this political stunt? The credit union did respond to that. They did make the point that the law firm representing the credit union is doing it pro bono, but the time that it took to get all this set up, the time to respond to me is not pro bono. And folks, the credit unions do not have any money of their own. The money belongs to the members, and this is a frivolous stunt. And I left some comments on the CU Times story, but they don't print my comments. But that's fine. More people will hear me talking about it here than will ever see it on the Credit Union Times. They had a whopping 7 comments last time I checked. We had over 700 listens to the show last week, and those numbers aren't even final yet. So good for the Credit Union Times for reporting it. Bad for them not allowing everybody to comment on it. And this Lower East Side Credit Union, this is a political stunt. And just, I mean, spend your members' money doing something constructive and productive. And of course, it's never a bad thing not to have a Wells Fargo update.
The Wells Fargo wagon! The Wells Fargo wagon! Oh, the Wells Fargo wagon is a coming down the street. Oh, please let it be for me.
Oh, the Wells Fargo wagon is a coming down the street.
I wish I knew what it could be.
I got a box of maple sugar on my birthday.
In March I got a grape macaroni.
And once I got some grapefruit from Tampa.
Montgomery Ward sent me a bath of and a cross.
That's That's right. It used to be you look forward to the Wells Fargo wagon rolling into town. Now it's Annie, get your gun, because they might be bringing you loan penalties for payments that you actually made. They might be bringing you an account for which you did not sign up for. And there was some news out there that that big bad Trump administration was not going to respond to some of these complaints. The president tweeted this morning, fines and penalties against Wells Fargo Bank for their bad acts against their customers and others will not be dropped. And so, by the way, credit unions, what have you done with this historical opportunity to show the difference between banks and credit unions? Again, a big fat nothing. You're too busy suing the Trump administration over an agency that most of your members have absolutely no idea what it does. And again, the credit union conference clan, the filings, and all the know-it-alls and all the smart people out there. I just spoke to somebody today, a credit union nerd. She couldn't come on the air because she was worried about being able to get a job because she wanted to be critical of all of this. So all the nattering nabobs out there, the filing folks, Mia Perez out in Louisiana, that vocal minority, that history continues to show that you guys have done a terrible job managing the credit union message, and it just continues. Well, the good news is we get to talk to somebody today who's actually doing purposeful things. His name is Jody Holland. His website is right there in the episode description. A really, really great guy, and we're going to talk to him, and we'll do it all right after this. The Lord Himself will give you the sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Isaiah 7:14. Here at the Power Performance and Eloquent Online, we say Merry Christmas. And as I said before, joining us from a hotel room somewhere in the great city of St. Louis, Missouri, wish him a Merry Christmas as well. Hey, Jody, how are you?
Hey, I am awesome. How are you doing, Jason?
It is so great to finally have you on the show. Yes.
Yeah, we actually talked a good year ago about trying to get together. I'm glad we're finally able to work it out.
It goes by so quickly. Hey, tell us about you and your career up to this point.
All right. So I have been doing kind of behavior change and personal improvement within organizations for about 20 years now. I worked in 14 countries all over the United States, except for Maine and Rhode Island. And amazingly, I have family in Maine and still have not been able to get a contract out there. But I do work all over the place. My focus has been on how do you create success within the mind of a manager or a leader, and use that in order to improve the culture of an organization, which results in lower turnover, higher profits, greater innovation, and a whole lot more intrapreneurship.
Absolutely. You know, you do a lot of speaking. We met at an event at the Amarillo College way back before LinkedIn and Twitter and all that other stuff. So you speak to a lot of people, and I'm always curious because unlike when I was speaking professionally, you know, I do this show. It's a bit one-sided. I don't get to go out and talk to the audience afterwards. But I wanted to ask you, as you do this, what are some of the most common questions you get from your audience when you're discussing the things that you talk about?
So there's several things. I mean, with leadership kind of being the primary focus of what I do in the training side, a lot of the questions are, but what if I train them and then they leave? My response has always been the same. Well, what if you don't train them and they stay forever? So you have to really create a shift in the mindset of a leader that investing in the potential and in the future of your people, whether they stay or not, is critically important. And as you know, because we had talked about the generations when you were out in Amarillo, is the generational change that exists in the workplace today is not something that the millennials at 8 years old woke up and went, yeah, we're going to have different demands than the previous generation. They were conditioned throughout their lifetime to become who they are. And there's absolutely, in my opinion, nothing wrong with the viewpoint of wanting work to be fun and balanced.
Right.
My experience has been Xers and boomers who get upset about the millennials wanting to have fun at work are really just mad because they wanted to have fun, but they didn't get to. So,
well, and I can relate to that. I always think about how my early years of my professional speaking career, which began in the 2002, 2003 timeframe, would have been different if I'd had Periscope and Facebook and LinkedIn and Twitter and stuff like that. I think where some people issue, and I've seen that in dealing, and there's no logic in generalizations, but it can't be all fun. It can't be all fun and games. And, you still have to be at work at a certain time, but I totally agree with you that the dynamic of work has changed. And, I think it's fine. You know, like I said in the intro, it didn't happen all the time. But I would find it would be a trainer that would come up to us afterwards. We'd put on this high energy thing and a standing ovation, and everybody loved it. And they'll say things like, well, you know, I'm not sure. What are the metrics? How do you know if this was absorbed by the audience? And I'm thinking to myself, well, I don't know. Did you look at them? Weren't you standing there amongst them with your arms crossed? Because all the stuff that you've done in the past has been boring and PowerPoint and put people to sleep. Do you ever come across that where people think you can't make training fun?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, on a regular basis, you find that people go, man, if it's fun, it's not learning. And I'm in agreement with you that if your butt goes to sleep, your brain also goes to sleep.
Yeah, that's a great.
So you
got to
keep the two engaged. Yeah,
my first tweet after the show. If your butt goes, if your butt goes to sleep? I think that's the first time anyone's ever used that anatomical description on the show. So kudos to Amarillo, Texas. if your butt goes to sleep, your brain goes to sleep. Is that what you said?
That is exactly what I said, and that's been
one
of the things
that's
that I learned
awesome,
early on.
You know, the people out in Madison, Wisconsin, and Alexandria, Virginia are convinced that my brain has been asleep for almost 10 years. So that's going to be a great, great quote keeper when the time comes. So that's great.
So,
well, listen,
yeah,
as we head into – go ahead.
I was going to say, I want to add one other thing there that from a measurement standpoint, that's the other question that you always get with training or with speaking – is that how do you know? And the application that happens after the fact is how you know. So I've learned to create my own metrics for the way that you measure the effectiveness of what you're doing. And I think that's one of the things that sets a trainer apart is when you accept the question and you go, all right, well, let's create a formula. And so I've created metrics that I use with clients when I go either speak at a conference or when I go in and do training. The training is easier because it's a longer-term deal. But you want to measure turnover. You want to measure performance. You want to measure profitability. You want to measure attitudes. So you figure out different ways to measure before and after, and then that's how you demonstrate whether or not your fun and engaging style made a difference. And I will tell you, if it's fun and engaging, the likelihood of them remembering it more than doubles. So it should be fun and engaging, or they're not going to remember anything.
Right. We put in a little different context. The reason we use music, the reason we always used a lot of music in our session is that music is the best way to remember something. If I ask you, you know, who is the CEO of Nationwide Insurance, because you heard his name 5 years ago, you probably don't remember. But everyone knows the jingle, Nationwide is on your side.
Music is on your side.
Yeah. Yeah, everyone knows that. This particular person that said that, be a little snarky at times. And I said to her, I said, well, my metrics is we got a standing ovation and you got five or six people standing up in the back of the room to stay awake. So how is that for metrics? See you next year kind of thing. So, well, that's interesting. Well, you and I do agree on that. I absolutely believe that the more fun things are, the more engaged people become. And that's why we use so much music in the stuff that we do when we try to make the show fun. This has never been a webinar that I do here every Friday. It is a live performance that you're listening to, whether you're listening to it live or listening to it after the fact. Hey, listen, one final question or a few final questions. What are your big plans for 2018?
So 2018 is going to be a fantastic year. I am expanding some of the keynote work that I'm doing. I've got some fantastic clients. My two primary client bases are healthcare and finance. So I do work with banks and with credit unions, and give a little shout out to the Community Bankers Association of Illinois. I'll be out there in a couple of months doing their conference. But my big plan really is I'm going to try to expand the number of keynotes that I do. Last year I did 155, or this year 155 paid engagements. So whether it was a training day or a speaking day. So I guess big goal is maintain balance and expand on the keynote side of it without really necessarily growing too much on the training side. I'm pretty solid there.
Awesome. Awesome.
So,
well,
and
listen,
then I got one other big one, and this one's kind of a personal one though, and that is my daughter got engaged this week. So I'm going to be paying for a wedding this next year.
Well, congratulations.
Thank
congratulations.
You.
So if any of your clients are listening, you all should know there's going to be a 10% surcharge on all future billings. Just so there's a wedding.
The wedded bliss charge.
Yeah, the reception, the open bar surcharge for the wedding reception will be added to all of JodyHolland.com clients going forward.
That's awesome.
Before we let you go, it's Todd, I always like ending on just sort of a fun note. When you look back at all those great Christmas mornings growing up, is there a present that you remember that was just like, wow, this is the greatest thing ever?
Yes, and it's probably a goofy one. It's not a huge, huge present, but I was 14 years old, and I wanted a Levi Strauss denim jacket worse than any present I remember wanting. And that was the year that my parents gave in. My dad is frugal, I think would be the appropriate word to use there.
I had one of those.
So he argued with my mother going, I am not spending that kind of money on a denim jacket. You can get a Wrangler jacket for cheaper.
Oh, yeah.
So my older brother didn't care. So he got the Wrangler jacket and I got the Levi's jacket. And that was the first time I felt cool.
I don't remember if it was Levi's or Wrangler, or in my parents' case, it was probably the off-denim brand from Sears or JCPenney or something back in the day, you know, made in Malaysia or whatever. And but I loved it. I absolutely loved that denim jacket too. And of course, where we grew up, the climate, you could wear it in the winter and in the spring, and it was just a great, 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 great accessory. So we've covered everything from credit union news to fashions of Gen Xers back in their middle school and high
back
school
in the
years.
80s.
Proof that we covered all here on the Power Performance, the show that asked the question, if your brand were a band, would you leave the audience wanting more? His clients have been left wanting more because he's doing stuff all the time. His name is Jody Holland. And Jody, thank you so very, very kindly for taking some time off to visit with us. And on behalf of everyone here at the show, Merry Christmas and a prosperous new year to you and yours.
And the same to you, Jason.
Awesome. Jody Holland, everybody. Great guy, by the way. Yep. And then there was one, and then there was one. One show left next week. It's going to be all Christmas music, some of the most beautiful Christmas music you've ever heard. Original stuff from our good buddy, master violinist Nike Van Wyk out of upstate New York in Allentown, PA. You don't want to miss that as we sign off for the year that was 2017. We're looking forward to a big year in 2018 as well. The snow is melting out here in New Braunfels, Texas. The snow is melting faster than a liberal college snowflake upon hearing the words God bless you after sneezing. So it'll probably all be gone sometime this afternoon. But man, it was beautiful. Those of you up north would be laughing. But here, this little dusting of snow, and it really wasn't a dusting. It accumulated. It was pretty amazing. It shut down the whole city today. Everything was on a two-hour delay this morning. So those of you in Michigan and Minnesota and elsewhere, you would just laugh at how we react here in New Braunfels, Texas, Republic thereof, to a little bit of snow. My name is Jason Dias, broadcasting live from the studio of eloquentonline.net. Until next we speak, we will talk to you all next week.
That's all, folks.